Road Mash, and my guest today is Rachel Weil. Rachel, how you doing?
Hi. Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm excited to talk about this project that you're doing. Hold your mic a little bit closer, because it's so loud in here with all the activity at this conference. Tell me about this. This is we've been showing this in this booth all week, and it's something you built.
That's right. So this is Connected NES. It is an original 1985 Nintendo Entertainment System.
NES?
Yes. Yes, NES. And so I've actually built a custom Wi-Fi modem for my NES.
That's this right here.
Yes, it is.
Underneath here, right?
I've made a little cozy for my Wi-Fi modem, as all modems should have a Wi-Fi cozy.
Is it just for decoration?
Yeah, just for decoration. Okay. And then I've also written a custom Twitter client, so you can actually tweet at my NES and see your tweets on the display here. So it's a mix of JavaScript, C, and 6502 assembly that all comes together.
Assembly language?
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy talk.
Yep.
Let's see it next. I have my phone here.
I've got my phone, so
tweet something.
I can tweet something.
Tweet a hashtag.
I will. So all I need to do is use the hashtag ConnectedNES, and I have a Node.js server that's running on Azure, and it's listening for that hashtag.
All right.
And I'm going to say, hi, David. And I'll hashtag it ConnectedNES, and that will pop up on the screen in just a minute. It's actually quite fast. So I just sent the tweet now. And there we go. Hi, David. Hashtag ConnectedNES.
Sweet. And it's on this device here. Now, this is just instructions right here, but let's get a good look at this device. It's an old TV set.
Yes, 1981 Zenith black and white travel TV.
Do you remember black and white TVs?
No.
You didn't have a black and white TV in your house like I did when I was a kid?
This one is older than I am.
It's older than you are. And then what else? This is the NES right here.
Yes.
What's this?
That's an extra cartridge. So for a lot of my games, I need to make my own cartridges. We can take this one apart, actually. If you want to open that up, you can see what's inside.
I do very much. That's it.
Be careful. There's a PCB in there. It's going to fall out. There you go. There it is. This is what's inside. So this one is actually a new manufactured one a friend of mine, Andy, made. But you can reuse the old ones and desolder. You take Super Mario Brothers and desolder all the EEPROMs off of it, program your own and put them on. Or you can have these new ones manufactured
as well.
Is
this how you're deploying your software to this device?
Correct.
By soldering things onto the boards?
Now, this one I didn't solder. I used a dev cart. But, yeah, you can solder them on yourself or you can have them fabricated for you. So, yeah, that's exactly what's inside this NES is a board just like that.
Well, walk me through the process of making this application with all these different languages and tools.
Sure. So I started off, I got interested in coding through writing for the NES. So assembly language was something I already knew when I started this project. The things that I hadn't done before was actually kind of working with making a peripheral device and then also doing the Node, the JavaScript side. That was something I hadn't integrated with the NES before. So the way that this works is you start with that Node server. It's hosted in the cloud, so it's on Azure. It's listening to tweets. Those tweets get parsed. They get sent through the Particle Cloud API to the microcontroller that's under here. And it's a wireless Particle Photon. It works over Wi-Fi. And normally it needs to be powered, by a USB cable. But we've actually, I've taken the power and ground from the NES cable and use that to power the board. So it's actually doesn't need to be plugged in, which is really cool. The microcontroller actually takes a tweet and then converts that to an array of bytes. And those bytes get sent through the controller port into the NES cartridge. And the last step is, of course, the display. So I've drawn all the art and font, everything by hand, pixel by pixel.
Really?
And then that assembly language cartridge is what is taking the text of the tweet and writing it to the screen, one letter at a time.
And then tell me again, how did that program then get onto this device? I know that they put a part of it in the cloud, a Node application that you can deploy to the cloud through the portal or through your TFS or VSTS or whatever. But how did you get the code onto here?
So the cartridge that's inside here, it actually is a special development cartridge that has a compact flash card in it. So I'm able to compile my code, put it on the card, and then put that card in the cartridge. And that's really great for a really fast development cycle because you don't need to do the soldering and all of that. Now, I've done that before where you'll take your code, you split it in half, you burn it to EEPROMs, and you solder it to boards. It's a pretty laborious process, especially if you're doing that every time you need to test, right? Not just deploy, but test. Yeah. So having a dev cart.
Very iterative.
Exactly.
So you said cartridge. That implies something that's portable. Does it come out?
It looks just like this one.
Okay.
So if we take it out, it'll stop working, but it looks just like this.
But you actually had to open this thing up and plug it in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So this thing is just going to run one program, or do you have multiple programs?
The development cart will actually let you choose between a menu of programs. So, of course, a compact flash card, even probably a 1 gigabyte card could probably store every NES game that ever came out. Most NES games are, they're going to be in the range of about 32 kilobytes.
Oh, so that's a consideration, is that you can't have it too memory intensive.
Yeah. So, when you're making these old games, I think most of my games, I think Connected Ness is maybe around 32 to 48 kilobytes, somewhere in there. It's a very small game. So, yeah, you certainly do have, memory constraints and graphic constraints and color constraints and things like that.
Cool. You are sharing this information with others.
Yes,
it's
actually all open source. So I have this whole project on GitHub. Mm-hmm. My GitHub username is HXLNT, Hexalent.
We'll put a link
there. So you can find Connected Ness project there. All of it is open source, and it's really cool, actually. So it's on GitHub, which is both the code repository and also the deployment source. So one funny thing that happened yesterday is someone noticed that I had the Connected NES running in the wrong time zone, that all the tweets were an hour off.
Oh.
And so I was actually able, because with Azure, you know how you can connect a GitHub repository to your deployment source and have it deploy from GitHub. So I actually got out my phone and I went to GitHub and I made a quick change in the app.js, and Azure automatically redeployed it.
Excellent.
And it was redeployed to this in a couple minutes. So it was really cool.
That's
like,
amazing.
I mean, I don't recommend going into github.com to edit your source code. Like, that's not a good source control method.
Yeah.
But if you're in a fix and all you've got is a phone, you could actually change your server code.
Wow.
While I changed it while I was talking to them. So it was really awesome.
Fair, this isn't like hooked to a heart and lung machine or a satellite that might fall out of the sky.
Right, exactly.
The cost of failure is kind of low. you're also blogging about it, aren't you?
Yeah, so if you go to my website, nobadmemories.com, I wrote a big blog post about the sort of development process, and it has a lot of pictures to show you. If you want to build this modem yourself, you can kind of see like what the pinouts are and everything like that.
Excellent. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Very
appreciate
cool.
it. I think the reason that I became interested in technology was because I wanted to make new friends.